Well, all right, everyone. This is Let's Jazz It Up. This is Let's Jazz It Up. Thank you all for tuning in. This is Brenda Moss, a.k.a. Lady Diva. Here, the phone lines are open. Please do call in at 657-383-0771. And that melody, that nice mellow jazz, was Palm Avenue by Ernest Walker Jr. He is my guest for this evening. Hello, Ernest. Are you with me?
Hey, Brenda. How are you tonight?
All right. I'm excited. I'm so glad you take out your time to be able to participate on my platform this evening. Where are you calling from?
Calling from an area just north of Miami, which is Timber Pines. And Miami is my area.
All right, fans out there, call in. Give your talented jazz musician a shout-out and a warm welcome. All right, Mr. Walker, tell us how your journey began in the music industry.
Oh, wow. Well, given that I'm so old, is a long story.
But, oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. Not the way you be saying, not the way you sound, your worth ethic, your talent. Nah, you're just getting started, baby.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for that. When I was, my father was in the Air Force, and I was born on Eglin Air Force Base, which was up north in North Florida. And he always wanted all of his kids to play something. And so we traveled all over the place. And when I was about 10 years old is when I started playing the sax. And one of the interesting aspects about it is that living across the street from me, we were in Hawaii at the time, were the Wooten brothers. Now, the Wootens, musicians know them very well.
Yeah.
When they were young, they were very much like the Jackson Five of the, the Michael Jackson and his group. They were, as a matter of fact, I can show you some pictures where they looked just like them. They were the same age and everything. the thing about the Wootens were all instrumentalists. They were all, each and every one of them was a master of their instruments. And so you had the drummers, guitar, the keyboard player, the saxophone player. And so they lived across the street from us, and their father was the best friend of my father. And so we used to go over there and sit down. When, you know how families would have get-togethers and they'd have parties, and most families would play. They'd play records, you know, back in the day, or they play CDs, you know, and they listen and you're playing cards and, you know, and all of that. When they had their family get-togethers, their kids were playing as a band. You know?
Right.
And just go over there and sit down and listen to them play. They were brilliant. Now, they're adults. Victor Wooten is probably the best bass player in the world. Victor Wooten. And his brother is the drummer. He calls himself Future Man. They play with De La Fleck and the Flecktones, and they've won. I don't know how many Grammys, but it's a whole bunch, several Grammys. And just watching them as a child, you know, I was in love with music just watching them. But my father was always in love with music, and he wanted all his kids to play something. And so, you know, I learned how to play a sax. But they were a great influence on me.
Wow. Okay. Is your parents, mother and father, are they musically talented? Or any other siblings, in, brothers, sisters, any other persons in your family?
As my father would say, he can't even play the races. But he always, he was a lover of music, R&B, blues, jazz, and he wanted all his kids to play something. It was four of us. I'm the oldest of four. I have two brothers, both passed away, and a sister. Now we all learned something. I was the only one that kept on playing, but it was because of his influence. You know, he wanted us all to play something. Now my mother in high school, she played piano and flute. She wasn't a professional musician, but she had a strong knack, and that's where I got it from. And then I got my love of music from my father.
Okay. That sounds just right. Sounds perfectly right.
Yeah.
Now you where you performed in with different groups in each town where you were stationed in when you joined the Air Force. What type of music you play? Was it just the classical jazz? When you said you perform with different groups in each town.
Yeah. Oh no, what I grew up with R&B.
Okay.
I grew up with Earth, Wind & Fire, Commodores, Ohio Players. I grew up with all of that. And so when I was in the military, I played with groups that were playing that style of music. And there was an occasional jazz group and the like, but I was a sax player in those styles of group the vast majority of the time. And so when I was in the military, I didn't have my own group. I used to play with different groups, and my first station after boot camp was Denver, Colorado. And back then, Denver. And Denver still to this day is just heavy. Jazz and all of that.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was stationed at Homestead Air Force Base, which is just south of Miami. And I spent the vast majority of my time in Miami and playing all over in different R&B groups.
Okay.
And, your regular on-call musician is what I was when I was in the military.
Okay.
And a lot of musicians know exactly what I'm talking about. And also on top of that, studio. Done a lot of studio work. And so, I made friends with some engineers. And if they need a sax player, they would call me up, and I go in and play, and I'm on some things. From what they tell me, I'm all over Jamaica some stuff, and nobody knows who the sax player is, but it's me.
Okay.
And that's here you are.
And
that's because of the Miami connection. We're heavy Caribbean, we're heavy Latin, we're heavy Cuban, and some of the best music you've ever heard.
Right.
And, so that's what I did when I was in the military, before I got out.
Okay. Well, thank you for all that information. Wow. You have quite few stories to tell. Quite few.
Oh, yeah.
So when you were in elementary school, these are for the younger children who want to always know, what was your first instrument that you played?
When I first started, when I was 9 years old, and it was guitar. And the number one reason I started was because my father loved B.B. King.
No.
And so, loved B.B. King. And so there was a teacher, a music teacher at school, who gave guitar lessons. And so he asked me, do you want to play guitar? I said, sure. And so I went in to her class and learned the guitar. Now, it was funny because everybody in the class had Bach guitars. They had nylon string. Unamplified guitars, and I was the only one that went in there with an electric guitar with my own little amplifier. I had to plug it up in the wall, because that's what my dad bought me. Because my dad was like, "B.B. King, let's do this."
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that is awesome. That's awesome. That is so awesome.
I'll never forget that teacher, even though I cannot to this day remember her name. But I'll never forget her because of the encouragement. Every single lesson, she just kept saying, "Oh wow, you're playing so great! You're just fingering that just perfectly, and just And I, to this day, You know, I still remember how good of a teacher she was. And I think even more so than my father, she probably had that biggest influence on my falling in love with music, because I fell in love with the encouragement. And it's something that a lot of teachers, you know, can take heed to. But man, it was just absolute, you know, beautiful. And
let's give a hand to all the teachers that are still teaching music in the schools, which is needed still. Because the parents,
now, the teachers,
they can't
not,
always.
The teachers they have to know that they may not get immediate recognition and gratification. Okay?
Right.
But they're planting that seed, and years and years later, you know, it's there. And, as long, especially the young teachers, my sister has been a teacher for 20 years in junior high and high school. And I tell her all the time this same particular story, because, you know, she's younger than me. She didn't know. And that, hey, you know, you may not feel it, you know, immediately within 1, 2, 5 years. But I tell you, you could be planting a seed that is the next Barack Obama. And
We're doing this radio show. She may end up listening. And she probably would most likely appreciate the words that you're saying about her.
Oh, no doubt. She knows the stuff.
So let's talk about the track that I played, Palm Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with that track? Everybody loves it. And is there a brief story on this track you want to give?
Most people don't know that people in South Florida, when you say Palm Avenue, the first thing they think about is a certain street. And yes, it is true. I do live very, very close to Palm Avenue.
Okay.
And I drive Palm Avenue every day. And I've traveled the entire country. I've traveled over the Caribbean and Haiti and the Bahamas and Jamaica, and I've traveled to Mexico City. I've traveled over to Germany and Hawaii and the like. And but every time I drive down Palm Avenue, you know, and I look at the palm trees, and I look at it, and then I think to myself, South Florida is a big pain in the neck, but it's okay. It's cool.
All right.
It's Palm Avenue. And so I wrote a song to kind of like display the feelings that I have with that. And I also, you know, with Palm Avenue, I wanted a more smooth jazz vibe, because a lot of my stuff is really heavy funk jazz vibe. A lot of my stuff is like Maceo Parker type stuff. When you you're thinking about instrumental James Brown. You know, a lot of my stuff is like that because that's what I grew up on, you know, and that's what I love. And also, when I perform, my performances are less party. Let's get down.
And so
Palm Avenue was more of a break from that. It was more of a more of a relaxation type of thing, even more so than I normally do.
All right, then. And talking about partying, I'm going to spin the track Party Time. You want to mention a brief story with that track there?
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. Phone lines are open, everyone. Call in.
Phone lines are still open and the party's still going. All right, Ernest.
I love that.
Yeah, we can get a land dance going on that tune right there.
That is true. That is true.
I love
it. Like my wife says, you know, we party with our jazz.
Oh, wow. That got me moving in my chair right there. When I first heard that track, I had bumps growing on my arms. I'm like, that right there.
Oh, fantastic. That's great to hear. You know, I wanted to create something that represented what we do on stage, because I have a monster band. And, for years, my best attribute has always been, you know, my performance. And I wanted to create something as far as what people can listen to on the radio, what they can listen to at home. They illustrated a small part of what we do, because you can't capture what we do on this. You just can't.
Right.
But,
right.
So that's why, you know, it's just like, okay, here's the taste. You know, let you know this is what we, you know, what we do on stage. And but
right.
when you see, yeah, we jam.
Right. Well, thank you for that
it's
information.
Party time, and that's why I called the song.
Yeah. Well, as we continue, who all have you collaborated with on some music singles, Ernest?
Well, as far as like known artists, none. Most of the guys I've collaborated with are guys who are studio guys and guys who are serious musicians. One of which is Brian Williams. Now, Brian Williams, most people in the regular world don't know who he is, but in the musician world, everybody knows who he is. He was musical director for Boys and Men for 7 years. And,
wow.
He's played with, like, you know, a complete conglomerate of different groups. And he just got off of the soul cruise down here, where he was backing up, you know, all of these different soul artists. And so, you know, you're looking at people like the old school Temptations, the old school Shy Light,
yeah,
and all of that. And so Brian and I did a lot of work together on this particular CD. And as a matter of fact, he completely produced and arranged Ordinary People. And he did all of that himself as far as all of the instrumentation and everything, and he produced it.
Right, right. Well, I see in your bio that you're a seasoned session player for more than 20 years. And you have opened for on stage with notable celebrity names as Boney James, Jeff Lober, Nick Colione, Everett Hart, Julian Vaughn, Wally Silk, Najee Jill. Oh my God, it's like chicken noodle soup, real good right there. You're right in the family. Good Lord, you're
right
good.
In the family. Yeah,
yeah,
always,
you're right in there.
And you know what happened is that I've always been the opening guy, and it's because I have three CDs before this Ifatoba. But
oh, you have?
Oh, yeah, I had two live CDs, and I had one that I did 20 years ago. And
oh, my gosh.
Because they weren't pushed to radio, you know, I've always
right.
been the
opening guy. Okay.
I've always been
okay,
the guy
okay.
in the industry that everybody
I understand.
All know me. Right, you know, but as far as the general public, you know, they haven't known me. And so, I mean, it was funny because I was talking to my publicist, and he said, Are you a new artist? I said new. No, I'm not new. You know, I have four CDs, and he said, "Well, how many have gone to radio?" I said, "None." He said, "Well, you're new." I said,
well,
you know
I grant you, I'm
right.
gonna push it for you. You are a great artist.
Thank you.
I will put
well,
your
you know,
music
guys,
on rotation
guys,
on.
Yeah.
Yeah, the
I'm
UK.
I'm one of the old guys that have been doing it forever, and has decided, you know what? Let's step out front instead of playing in studio, instead of backing up all these people, and you know maybe even my name being on certain albums, you know, in the backdrop that nobody ever sees. I said, let's go ahead and let's just do this for ourselves.
Okay.
That's what Ifatoba was all about. Ifatoba is spelled Ifatoba, but it's pronounced Ifatoba. Now, Ifatoba is a Yoruba word, and it means the king has arrived.
I was going to ask you that question. What does it mean?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. right. It means the king has arrived. And it is my particular name that was given to me by Yoruba, and it's something, you know, that I wanted to step out with on my solo mission.
Okay. Well, you're doing a very good job. You're on my platform, and I've been putting your music out there. Most of the tracks that's on the album. And I will continue doing my work for you even after the recording of this show. There are other radio hosts going to be coming at you. But we're going to...
And let me tell you something. I've been, as a studio musician, as the guy that's out there playing for weddings and playing for all of this other stuff for so many years, you know.
Right.
There are so many musicians who can relate to who I am.
Right.
The message that I have for them is that, you know, just do your thing, man.
Right.
You know, it's hard to make a living, you know. Sometimes, you know, like I discussed it with my wife, you know, I said, do you know some of these people will want to hire you for the same prices that I was getting paid when I was in high school, you know, as far as musicians concerned. And so what you have to do as a musician is step that up yourself. But it's very, very difficult when you do it for a living. It's really difficult.
Yeah, it is. I've heard so many stories. So as we continue with the interview, I like to ask you this. A lot of folks are wondering, do you have any upcoming events that are scheduled? They want to see you performing. Is there any schedule? And also your website information where you, I'm quite sure, will post any events you have on your website. So can you go ahead and give us that information right now, Mr. Walker?
What's going on right now is that we've put a complete hold on everything for Ifatoba. And so what happens with the vast majority of things that I perform at are smooth jazz festivals. A year booking. The last one I did was the Gulf Coast music jam with Boney James and let me see who else was there. That was Boney James and Nick Corleone. And what's happening now is that I do have some things in the works. I have the very first one here in Miami, and then there's another one here in Miami. But the vast majority of our bookings and everything is going in the festivals and everything is going to happen is going to be in 2021.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's all right. So can you give the information of your website and the social pages, please?
Website is www.earnestwalkerjr, which is jr.com, earnestwalkerjr.com. My Facebook is, of course, the Facebook.com/NewJazzSax, NUJAZZSAX. Let's see, Instagram, is my name, which is Ernest underscore Walker underscore Jr. So it's E-A-R-N-E-S-T underscore W-A-L-K-E-R underscore J-R. Twitter is my name, which is Ernest Walker Jr., which is E-A-R-N-E-S-T W-A-L-K-E-R J-R. And then let me see what else. There's a whole bunch of other stuff out there. But you can find me on Spotify. You can find me on iTunes and also iMusic, Amazon, and there's a whole bunch of stuff coming out of Germany and Japan. I've been getting a lot of orders out of Japan. And so there's a whole bunch of websites. But if you the main aspect, if you Google Ernest Walker Jr., the first four pages are actually me, except for one person. But the that criminal stuff he was doing.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Thank you. Thank you
just
for that information.
My name.
Right.
It's okay. It's okay because people have been clicking on it, right? And when they see that, nothing like me, they know, oh, that's not what I'm
doing. Yeah, I'm glad. Thank you for that information, that part right there. Yes, yes.
Oh, no.
Do you have a couple more minutes to sit? I would like to play your version of Ordinary People.
Okay.
Phone lines are still open, everyone. Call in. This is Ordinary People. Continue with this interview.
Okay,
you still with me? All right.
Of course.
I will send Sweet Dreams at the end of the showcase. I love that track as well.
You like it?
And yes, I really love it. And a lot of people go through a lot of daily stress and come into jazz music as like yours. Your whole album sounds fascinating. Once people get used to your melody, your vibe, and how you do and they'll play the whole album, and that's how I do. I'll play the whole album and sit back and relax and forget about my worries. But
you know,
anyway.
I did try to tell a story with it.
Yeah. So anyway, enough about me. I'd like to ask you, what keeps you motivated to keep going, to keep doing this music thing of yours?
It's just, you know, it's something that's a part of you. It's always been a part of you. It's just, you know, I was always been a musician, you know, like I was saying, from 10 years old. When I was in high school, I played in a band called Soul Royal. And now the Soul Royal was a historic band in the Pensacola area. They started in the 60s, and they were like the Temptations type
of thing. Oh, my gosh.
if you ever watch the movie The Five Heartbeats?
Yeah.
That movie, the band that I was in Pensacola, the Soul Royals, mirrors The Five Heartbeats. You know how they
started out,
and all that, and then they graduated into like a Commodores type of situation, you know, in the 70s. That was the exact same thing. And then over the years, they would get different players, and then, you know, it was only known that you had to be the best of the best to get to be a member of the Soul Royals. I was a freshman in high school at 14 years old, and I was in the Soul Royals. Now, they're playing nightclubs, and we're talking nightclubs where they're jamming, smoke everywhere. You know, everybody drinking, getting their drink on, you know, all the dance, everything going on. Now, I'm like 15 years old, freshman in high school, and I'm up in this situation now. So the club owners are like, baby up in here. And so, it's like, okay, you know, he's an employee. And they said, all right. He's an employee, so he's got to stay on stage. And so what would happen is that, we would play, and I would stay on stage. And then when the break came, the band would go out. All the guys, they were chasing women. They were drinking.
Yeah.
They were, you know, they were out there on their break. I was
right
there on stage. I was, you know, by myself, and I was drinking me some grape juice, and I was eating me some honey buns, and sitting there on stage just watching all of this stuff happen, you know, with the baby face, you know. But then they come back after the break ended, and we jam, and they would always ask, "Who is that baby on that saxophone?" So that's been me forever, for my whole life. You know,
sound so adorable. I can't imagine. Because, I mean, nowadays that will not happen.
Right.
Wow, adorable.
So now you understand when somebody asks, okay, what's your motivation? It's hard to answer because it's like, it's like, what's the motivation to breathe? You know? It's hard to answer. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I ask my guests this all the time on my show, and you've been very fun. You're full of energy. What is your ultimate desire, what you wish your fans to get out of your music, out of this album especially, Mr. Walker Jr.?
My ultimate is that when they see me play live, I want you to come see me play live. I choose the best musicians, and we like to leave you breathless. Now, you're going to love listening to it. And everybody loves listening to it. But there's nothing compared to our live show.
Right, right.
It's the way I've always been.
Okay.
I mean, I just have to say, you know, it's just straight old school. And
My
one of the
ultimate
things is that, you know, I had a lot of there was a lot of emotion that went with this CD. I don't particularly like to talk about, you know, those emotions because in the middle of making the CD, you know, I was, you know, getting things done and going through my creative phases. You know, and you know, and in the middle of it, my mother passed away, and it's okay. She had, you know, I support Alzheimer's big time because she had Alzheimer's, and so when she got to the final phases, it was like myself, my sister, and my father were pretty much the only people that she knew. You know, everybody else, who they were, you know. And so there were some songs that, you know, I would go to mom's house, to mom and dad's house, and I would just play for hours.
Right.
And it didn't matter what I played. My mother knew the song, and she would sing the song. And and she would dance to it and all of that. But then her oldest niece would come over and she'd whisper to me, "Who is that?" You know, that's the way Alzheimer's works.
Right.
And so when she passed away, it was very, very hard on me as far as like continuing. And so after that happened, I went ahead. It took about, it took a year.
Wow.
To it and finished up. And I had, I almost had the whole CD done. And then it was on hold for a year. Everybody was asking what's going on. You know, I said, I don't feel like talking about it.
Yeah.
And then I got back into it and boom. And it turned out absolutely fantastic. And that's why. Within the notes of the CD, everybody knows, you know, all of my family knows this is for mom. But, in there. Oh, yeah, this is for mom. This is where this came from. And all the inspiration in you know, in middle of night and can't sleep. And she came to me and said, "What are you doing, boy?" You know? And it's the CD, you know, so okay.
Right. So, well, you remind me your story, your life journey. I lost my mother in 2009 of Alzheimer's as well. And she knew of the only siblings of my sister and my brother and me. And and I watched her as she took her last breath. But she was always fond of my talent as far as everything that I did. I'm actually representing her. And not only that, I make her proud. But when you go through thinking about your one and only mother, and then you're trying to succeed in a business or succeed in a career, it's hard because your heart is playing tug of war. And have to put it aside, but then again, you have to represent your mother or your father or someone you love and keep it going. I, too,
Brenda,
lost my mother with Alzheimer's.
Brenda, your mother is always going to talk to you, and she's always going to keep you on a straight path.
Yeah.
So don't worry about that. Yeah.
Just to let all my Evansville City, my town, know, my mom comes in my dreams, and she never calls me by my government name. She calls me Sister, because she's a Southern Belle from Birmingham, Alabama. She says, "Sister, what you doing? Sister, what you doing?" So this,
that's what
I understand.
When you were little?
Yes.
Oh.
Sister? That's all she called me was Sister. Yeah. So I understand your journey, your life journey.
Yeah.
And you know what? You put out a beautiful album. Your mama's looking up on you, proud of you. She's bragging about you. So right now, I am so glad I got to meet a new friend. You know, God puts people in our path, in our journey, for a reason. And this is not by accident that you are meant to be on my platform, so it's my pleasure.
I had no clue that your mother suffered from Alzheimer's. You know, and it's not something that I talk about. My family knows.
Me neither,
I have never discussed this publicly, you know. On my CD, it says, I dedicate this CD to my mother, but I have never discussed this publicly. And on your show, I have. And I'm so glad it happened on your show because you've been through the same thing I've been through.
Well, I would never brought it out unless I knew I heard it from another person that experienced
mm-hmm.
the same thing. And you brought it out. And so it makes me feel that I wasn't alone. I'm not alone.
I'm telling you.
So,
call me after this show.
All right, I will. Okay.
Call.
All right, so.
I got a whole
continue.
Bunch of stuff to talk to you about.
Okay. All right. My friend. Okay. You're more than welcome right now to give a shout out to all the persons that had supported you and put up with you in your musical journey. So you're more than welcome to come up with those names or give a thank you. Go right ahead, Ernest.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. It's always Shekiah Walker, my wife. Because when you're doing music, results are not immediate. You know, results are, you know, long term, and so you need somebody that is really in your corner. And then you also need somebody that can say, "That song sounds terrible."
because
so many people will put out things that sounds bad, and it's because they don't have anybody that loves them. That says, you know, no, baby, don't do that. And my sister Antoinette, she lives in Jacksonville. She's the one that she's an educator and has all kinds of degrees and 2,000 times smarter than me, you know, but always has been. My father. My father is in Pensacola, and he's 82 now. And like I said, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be playing an instrument to this day.
Wow.
No way. Even if contemplated playing an instrument, if it wasn't for him. And he doesn't play anything.
Wow.
And he's just a lover of music. And a lot of people listen to music, and they love music, and they think that they're not on the inside. It's not true. If you love music and you listen to me, you're on the inside. My father is more than me, you know.
Right.
And, of course, you know, I like to thank my agent, Kim Giles, and Brian Williams, my musical director. And Brian is also a great friend. And he calls my mother and father mom and dad.
Okay.
Can't eat that.
All right. So let's all give a hand to all the persons that put up with you and supported you in your journey from the past to the present. Let's give them a hand, everyone.
Wow, I like that.
So, I would like to ask you one more question, Ernest Walker Jr., while we're still on air, before we sign out. It is your words of encouragement. Any advice you want to give to the persons that are up and coming in the music industry? Any advice you want to give to them? Or rather, do you have a message to deliver? Or do you have any advice for those that are suffering in the world today?
I want all the young musicians to understand. Okay. Oftentimes we look at what's going on in the music industry and we feel like we'll never get to that top. First of all, do your own thing and do your originals. I come from a world where I learned how to be a very good studio musician and a very good gigging musician, to where anybody could call me, and if their repertoire consisted of 300 songs, I knew every single song. I could play it all, you know. But if you want to advance your musical career, advance your creativity, advance what you, you know, your own individual song, and push that to the maximum, and then finance that to the maximum. It may not always be the best route to work as a full-time musician. You may have to work another job and then finance your creativity to, until you get to the point where you want to go. That to me, you know, it may not be the best route, but that to me is the best route as far as my opinion. Everybody always says don't give up and all of that. Let me tell you something. Find somebody that you love and have them listen to your music. Have them listen to you sing. Have them listen to you play. Have them listen to you, you know, you kick the drums and play the bass and play the guitar. Find somebody that you love and tell them, tell me the truth. Now, that person that you love may come out and say, baby, I love you, baby, but you need to work on this. And that person may say, baby, I love you, baby, and this is fantastic, you know. But you need to find somebody that you love. Television, radio, all of it is full of people that don't have people that they love. They have people, they will tell themselves, if I will it, it will become. I think I am great, so I am great. I am telling you, that's garbage. There's a lot of people out there that are playing garbage, and they have nobody around, and everybody around them, you know, you have the old auntie that says, bless that baby. Bless that baby. I love that baby, but he is awful. But they won't tell him.
Right.
You know what I mean? And what I say is that, okay, you don't love that person, you don't tell them. If I love any one of my nephews, my nieces, any one of my babies, I tell them. That sucks. No, we're not going out like that. You have to. If you can't sing, you can't sing. If you can't play, you can work on it. You know.
Right.
You know, you can work on all these things, but don't just send these children out, you know, in the world, saying that you are the best ever and knowing that it is not very good. And then all of these television shows that bring on amateurs, you know, they cater to that. You know, everything that they show is the top who are the greatest and the bottom who are the worst.
Right.
You know, and nothing in between. And it's all because, and the bottom who are worst is because they don't have anybody that loves them, is what I tell my wife all the time. Because if you love them, you'll tell them, baby, don't do that. Don't go on national TV like that, you know?
Yeah.
And so what I have to say to all of these kids is that find somebody that loves you. My biggest mentor was Grover Washington Jr.
Ooh.
And one thing that Grover Washington Jr. said is that his biggest asset was his wife. And he said it's because he would be in the studio playing something, and it was – you know, he would have his agent, man, that sounds great. He'd have his publicist, that was fantastic. He'd have his director, that's beautiful. And then his wife would say, that stuff. he would listen to his wife, and he'd make it better.
Yeah, because she's
the
closest person to you. She's the closest person,
Exactly.
She would not
somebody
lie.
Loves you. Loves you enough to willing to tell you the truth, because the world gonna stomp down on that, man. When you release that music, the world don't give a damn. You put that on YouTube, and you got all of these negative comments, Spotify, and all that. You know, Instagram.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't care what you say, you're about. You know, this thing.
Yeah.
And they're not gonna hold back. And so,
and so,
what are you gonna do? You're gonna sit back and say, they're just haters. That's garbage.
Yeah.
Don't sit back and say they're just haters. You have to understand, you know, you have to look at it from an objective point of view. Whereas, you know what? This music might not have been very good, but you need somebody around you to say, this music is not very good.
Right. And be truthful, not fake. Right.
And then when that person does that, when they say, man, this is good, you know you're on the right track.
Right.
And you go from there. And it's not seeking the negative. It's not seeking the positive. It's seeking the truth. So
right.
That's what I have to say to young musicians. Seek the truth.
All right. Well, thank you for that advice, and thank you for those words of wisdom. That's very good, very strong advice. I'd like to mention, have you ever done any community events with your talent, supporting any organizations? Are there any favorite organizations that you support you want to mention on air right now before we sign out?
Down here in Miami, I've done two major concerts for the Overtown music festival, and
okay.
it was pretty much donation, and it was preservation of the history of Overtown in Miami. And anybody in the Miami area knows, they know Overtown. And then I stepped out of the house in the car, and I was talking in the car. And
okay.
I came back. But
well, we're getting ready to sign out.
Okay.
So, I want to say thank you for your time, your precious time,
pleasure.
For taking time out to be on my platform. You are always welcome to come back, Ernest, with any new projects. I will play Sweet Dreams.
I'll be back next week. I'd love to be back anytime, Brenda. I really enjoy talking to you. And as I said, yeah, we need to talk. I'm going to call you after this. And there's so many aspects, as far as Alzheimer's. My father's 82.
Yeah.
And he had to take care of my mother,
Well, bless his heart. You still
yeah.
have a father. I lost my father as well. So you're a lucky dog. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play Sweet Dreams. You have a blessed evening. I'll keep in contact with you. And thanks, everyone, for listening in. I have a show Sunday evening with Lee Austin. Everyone, I want to thank you all for your donations and your support and helping me keep my broadcast going. This is Brenda Moss, aka Lady Diva, signing out of Let's Jazz It Up, Your Sweet Dreams by Ernest Walker Jr.